soul to soul, spirit to spirit, blessings in His grace. There seems to be a great deal of fear in the air, not only locally, but nationally and internationally. The prognosticators have forecasted doom and despair. The current economic indicators and the Federal Reserve Board all are very cautious. Real estate has plummeted. The unemployment rate has skyrocketed, and they have a name for that, and they call it recession. And so it seemed appropriate to go within and ask for a little understanding and illumination about the subject of supply. And so this morning we're going to look at the principles of supply. And we'll start with my trees out in my yard. A few years back, I received some little twigs in my mailbox, and I opened it up, and they were wrapped in plastic, and they were a gift from a certain society, and I unwrapped them, and there was a red maple, a golden maple, and a willow. All three trees were about 2 feet long and as, well, thinner than a, well, about the size of a spaghetti noodle before it's cooked. Pretty tiny. So I thought, what the hey? I planted two by my sidewalk going from the house out to the street, and I planted one up on the hill. Well, this winter I went out and I looked, and currently they are 25 to 30 feet tall, with about a maybe 1 foot, 1.5 feet around the trunk. And I looked at them this winter, and I thought, how wonderful the shade that they provide. And, of course, they didn't have any leaves on them. They had all fallen off, and they looked like they weren't even alive. But somewhere towards the end of March, I saw little tiny blossoms appearing, because we had a few days of warmth, and there was no snow at that time. We had maybe one more dusting. And sure enough, after a little while, the blossoms fell off and new tiny, beautiful green leaves appeared and just uncurled and unfurled, and now it's covered in leaves, every branch on it. They're not fully grown, but they're about halfway there already. This is the first part of May. Now, let's suppose that I grew up in a desert where there are no trees. Spent 20 or 30 years there, and suddenly I got on a plane and flew over here to the Appalachian Mountains of North Carolina in the dead of winter. I would have thought that that tree was dead, wouldn't I? Nothing on it, just a spindly branch, few branches connected to a trunk. No life at all. Yet, as soon as things warmed up, that invisible life began to reproduce itself from within. Beautiful. And in another 2 weeks or three, when the leaves are fully grown, we will have shade all summer long over our house, which of course not only feels good and is lovely to look at when the wind blows, but it cuts down our air conditioning bill too, because it cools the house. Now I have a garden out back, and all that I have in it so far is lettuce and cauliflower and some onions and turnips and things that mostly grow under the ground and can handle the cold weather. And it's amazing. You take a seed that's smaller than, well, about the size of a grain of salt, and you sprinkle it in the ground, and 2 months later you have lettuce that you can pick and put in your salad with some tomatoes and maybe some cheese and some dressing. It's quite wonderful. But when you have that tiny seed in the palm of your hand, that can't possibly... Well, you could smash it. You could take it apart and look at it under a microscope. There's no lettuce in there. Come on. It's just a dried seed. Yet, you put it in the ground, and 2 or 3 months later, you have 2 feet long lettuce leaves. From somewhere within that seed, well, it's not really within the seed, is it? Because the seed's not big enough to hold anything larger than a grain of salt. So it must be somewhere in the invisible that life is flowing out. And so as I look at the trees in my front yard and the garden in my back yard, my attention is drawn to the invisible. I spend a lot of time these days with my attention on the invisible. I remember Joel told us that we must learn to translate everything back into the invisible. And I find that happens as I contemplate these things. Actually, as I contemplate anything, I always end up, it seems, back into the invisible. And so as I look and consider the subject of supply, I am able to be taught by my trees and by the plants in my garden the secret of supply. Now, Joel explained this in the Infinite Way book when he talked about the orange trees. And the oranges can disappear and they can be given away or sold or eaten. And something invisible reproduces those oranges. Now that then is pretty much the whole secret of supply. We are given also in that chapter, reminded of the Master's statement, take no thought for your life. And I believe the Master meant that. Christ, which is itself this invisible source of life flowing through these trees and plants, this invisible life, this Christ was telling us, hey, you out there, take no thought for your life, what you should eat, what you should wear, where you're going to live. Take no thought. But remember that the Father knows you have need of these things, and it is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, if He was telling the truth, and He was, then within us is the same source of life that's flowing through the trees out there and the plants. But how many people actually believe that? And furthermore, how many people actually experience that in the world as we walk around and look and listen? It's not too many, is there? What were you taught when you were growing up? I was taught that if I was smart, I would get an education and get a good paying job and get all the things that I wanted in life. Now, that was not necessarily go out and take and rob and steal. That was do it the honest way. Get an education, make a good living, and you can have. If you get, you can have. You see how that is 180 degrees backwards from the truth of Christ? Christ says, take no thought for your life. This invisible spiritual substance will flow just as it does through the tree. But man says, oh no. No, you come here with nothing but your diapers, if your family can afford them, and then you have to scratch out a miserable living out of an unfriendly universe. And you better save up and store and plan for this and get ahead and hang on to it. And if possible, if you can do it in an honest way, do that. But if you can't, it's okay to cheat a little bit. And it's even okay to cheat a lot if you're successful at it. Remember that guy, D.B. Cooper or whatever his name was, that was the first one to demand $1 million or $2 million and then jumped out of a plane in Seattle, I think it was. I mean, not Seattle, but over the mountains. And he parachuted out there with a briefcase full of money, and they looked and looked and looked and never found him. Well, he's almost celebrated as a hero, isn't he? He's a legend. D.B. Cooper, somewhere enjoying his $2 million. Wasn't he smart? Well, that's our society. We might as well admit it. But that's 180 degrees away from the Christ. So do we believe the world and what it has taught us and is teaching? Or do we believe the Christ? Do we believe the current economic indicators? Or do we believe the voice of Christ? And if we believe the voice of Christ, how do we let this supply flow? How do we do it? That seems to be the biggest question. Even when you believe it, that's not enough, is it? You might believe that God has the entire infinite kingdom to give you, and yet be going down to the government building to get your food stamps and a mere pittance of a check. Something is missing. All this poetry about the trees won't do a darn thing to pay my bills, will it? No, it won't. You may have read that chapter in The Infinite Way on supply, and yet still can't demonstrate supply. And so, it seemed to me pretty imperative that we try to describe the principles of demonstrating supply to such an extent that you can actually go and do something about it. So let's first get an understanding of something. You have two choices in life. Of course, you have 17 million, but in this particular case, you have two choices. The human mind can manifest as your experience. And the human mind, which cannot receive the things of God, is really world thoughts. And world thoughts, as we know, if we've studied truth, are thoughts of good and evil. And so, one choice is to live as a human being. And hey, everybody's doing it. No big deal. It doesn't take any particularly difficult effort. All you have to do is just wake up every day. And then the human mind starts, doesn't it? You wake up and it starts right in. Maybe you turn on the news and give it a push with a little extra world thought. And so you turn on the news and there you are. Oh my God. I live in Southern California, right near Mexico. I wonder how many cases of swine flu there are in San Diego. And have they come up as far as Laguna? Are they up even farther? When are they going to reach my door? Maybe I better not go eat at that Mexican restaurant. I know they have some workers there that don't have any green cards. Perhaps they just recently came up and they're carrying it and it'll be in my food. I think I'll just go to another restaurant this week and maybe for a little while. And so there you are, your mind is being, well, what's being broadcast into that mind are world thoughts. And you're entertaining thoughts of good and evil. And now it goes on to national news, and oh my God, you're really in a fix now because it says that the unemployment rate is going to get worse before it gets better. And several states are on the brink of bankruptcy. And the firm that you work for supplies parts to several auto dealers, and they may be filing Chapter 11 bankruptcies, and your job is shaky. And you don't know what you're going to do because the unemployment rate in your area is over 18%. And so you drink down your coffee and have your breakfast roll and put on a happy face and you go on off to work. And all the time the mind into the human mind, the world thought is being broadcast, pumped right in. And you're entertaining thoughts of good and evil. And you may say a few verbal prayers to try to counteract that. You may say something like, well, God is the only presence, and this is just hypnotism. And so you do a little mental work like that. You might read a paragraph or two in the book before you head on off to work, but by the time you get to work, you're really, really a mess because you have just entertained thoughts of good and evil all morning long. And now, what do you think is going to manifest as your living experience? you know. You're going to manifest a perfect demonstration of good and evil. And you're going to find yourself in lack and limitation or in sickness or both. And then you're going to say, well, how could this come to me? I've been studying truth. I've read all the books. Do you remember Joel saying you must entertain truth? Truth entertained in consciousness is what demonstrates and sets you free. You must know the truth, and the truth will set you free, said our master. And the truth entertained in consciousness is what manifests. But you haven't been entertaining truth in consciousness. You've been entertaining thoughts of good and evil. And whatever you entertain in consciousness is what becomes your living experience. So, as I said, you have a choice. You can manifest the good and evil of human thought, which is world thought. And if you do, you will demonstrate a perfect demonstration of good and evil. It will appear out here as your living experience. And now you can't blame the government for not tightening up the ship and preventing swine flu from spreading. And you can't blame the bankers for making lousy investments and then receiving bailout money and giving it to in bonuses to some of the executives instead of reinvesting it, and so causing an economic downturn. You can't blame them. Well, you can, but then you'll be a few more miles away from freedom. See, if you have something or someone out here to blame, you're not going to look at the fact that, oh, wait a minute. I live and move and have my being in my consciousness appearing as form. And the form in my living experience, the forms are good and evil. So I better put my finger on where the problem is. And the problem is what I'm entertaining within. But there is a solution. Because the consciousness that does not entertain thoughts of good and evil, a consciousness that entertains truth, will demonstrate the truth. And what is that truth that you will demonstrate? I, within you, am the truth, says Christ. The source of all supply, the source of all being, says, I am the truth. So if you entertain truth in your consciousness, you will demonstrate a perfect demonstration of I. In our example of the trees, probably the reason why trees keep producing and plants keep producing over and over is because they don't have the capacity to think. Otherwise, one tree would be attacking another. Hey, you've got apples. I want apples. All I've got is oranges. And then you'd have trees fighting in your backyard. You've got more oranges than I do. I only have 20. You have 40. He meant what he said when he said, take no thought. And so the very first principle in the principles of supply is I must find a way to take no thought. And the second principle is to realize that your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. And so the second principle is to entertain truth in consciousness. And so those two principles go together. Take no thought, but entertain truth in consciousness. Well, now, I thought truth was in the book here, The Infinite Way. Isn't there such a thing as a truth statement? Such as I and the Father are one? Isn't that truth? No, it's not. And there are no truth statements. These are statements about the truth. But the truth is not the statement, and the truth is not in the statement. So, taking thought about these scriptures or these statements is not entertaining truth in consciousness. Now, I'll say that again, because that's where so many of us miss the mark or sin. Thinking statements of truth, contemplating scripture, is not entertaining truth in consciousness. I am the truth, says the invisible source. Then to entertain I in consciousness means to reach a place where you take no thought. And into that vacuum, I, the source, flow. And when you sense that I, when you feel that I, when you rest and experience that I flowing, your awareness of I itself is entertaining truth in your consciousness. And when you entertain truth in consciousness, you demonstrate that truth. In other words, take no thought. It's not needed here. Here, what is needed is an awareness of I. And your awareness of I manifests as harmony, as peace, as love, as supply of every good and perfect gift. Now I'm telling you the truth. All right, what do we have so far? So far, we know what is being broadcast in this world. No matter how high or how powerful the experts are, is nothing but world thought. Look at it closely. It's a thought of good or evil. A thought that this is going bad, or maybe this will soon be good. Sometimes it's a thought of good and evil at the same time. Well, this plan is failing here, but succeeding there. It's a little of good and a little of evil at the same time. The Master told you, if you would have supply, an infinity of supply, number one, take no thought. Don't listen or believe what they're saying, because they have no awareness of I. What Joel calls disregarding the evidence of the senses. You must learn to do this. I don't care how scary they are. I understand that. I've stood there myself many times. I know how scary they appear. But I am going to follow Christ. As for me and my house, we follow Christ. And I assume that you do too. And so, you, each of you individually, must find a way to close your eyes, shut off the thoughts of this world, of good and evil in this world, and take no thought. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking a scripture or a statement of truth if it helps you to calm down and reach that point of stillness where you're not entertaining thoughts of good and evil. And so if it helps you to say, no answer to any of this, I'm going to just be still. Speak, Father, thy servant heareth. If that helps, then say it to yourself. If it helps you to say, I do not live by bread. I am here for the Word of God. I am here to entertain I. Then say it to yourself. If it helps you to say, no answer to this. Father, thy grace is my sufficiency, and I rest in thee. Whatever helps you to slow down, stop believing in these thoughts of good and evil, disconnect from them, calm down, be still, rest back, and wait upon the Lord. Whatever helps you do that, you do that. But just know that you're saying these statements of truth to yourself. You have not yet reached that point in your meditation where you are entertaining truth. Because that point is just entertaining statements about the I, statements about God, statements about truth. So you go from being worried about the pictures of good and evil being presented to you and entertaining them in your mind throughout the day or at night, you go from that state and you take the first principle of Christ on supply, which is to take no thought. And so as soon as you can, as rapidly as you can, come to the place in your meditation where you are taking no thought. If it's possible, say something simple to yourself like, no answer to that. Father, thy grace. And then be still. If it's not possible, go a little longer. But you've got to practice that first principle. And then you have to practice the second principle, which is to reach that state of silence, in which you listen, you wait, you are receptive, so that this I, this source of all that is, this spiritual presence, this spiritual substance, can flow into your consciousness, and you can feel it. So you might say to yourself, okay, I'm not going to start my day off like I have for this past 2 weeks worrying and entertaining world thoughts of good and evil. I'm going to start a little different today. Now, what is the first principle? Oh, yes, that's right. Take no thought for my life. For any of it. Okay, all right. These are world thoughts. Right now, I'm not going to entertain them. I'm not going to take any thought. There's no answer to that anyway. It vacillates between good and evil forever. Now, the first principle is to take no thought, so I'm going to do just that. Let me be still. Father, of myself, I can't do any of this. The second principle is that I must entertain truth in my consciousness. I must entertain you. And so I sit here, I rest, I listen. Father, reveal yourself. Father, just flow. Let me be aware of you. I rest in your presence. Speak, Father. Reveal yourself. I know there's an I in the midst of me because I have felt it in other meditations. And that I in the midst of me am the way. And so now I am resting. I within take over. And if you are patient, and if you practice this each morning, and then again around lunch break, and again around dinner, and again before you go to bed, and again if you wake up during the night, and whenever else you are prompted, if you are patient, if you are persistent in one of these meditations, in this moment of open consciousness, you will feel the presence announce itself. The I in the midst of thee will flow. You will sense it. You will feel it. You may find yourself taking a quick short breath. You may find yourself with a feeling of peace flowing into you with no outside source or cause. You may feel a tingling feeling of the presence. You may receive an impartation such as, Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. Just rest. Just rest. Receive the gift of God. Without struggle, without strain. When this I flows into your consciousness, you receive the release that goes with it. There's a feeling of, oh, thank you, Father. There's a feeling that God is right here, present. Yes, God is on the scene. That's the experience of I in your consciousness. And your awareness of that I, without any effort, without any thought, without any direction on your part, your awareness of that I manifests as your hidden manna appearing as supply. It just manifests. You have nothing to do with it except to be a witness. you witness. First, the first principle is to take no thought, which allows you to be silent enough to witness the I flowing into consciousness, flowing forth through consciousness. You actually entertain it. You actually feel it. And that's the key word. You feel a transcendental presence. A transcendental being. A transcendental I. Flowing from the invisible into your conscious awareness. And you feel it. You feel that invisible I. And those are the two principles of supply. Once you have felt that I, then you are to open your eyes and go about your business without any thought at all as to how it may manifest. Because that I is omniscience. And I am constantly amazed at how it does things. Things I never even thought of. Wow, I never thought of that. And yet, it came right out of the blue. An opportunity, which just happens to provide me with the exact amount of money I needed this month. Is that not amazing? Sometimes people come into my life and I listen to their story and we have something that we are doing together and it's amazing. And I can see how years before that person was being prepared or years before I was being prepared and slowly the pieces were being moved together where we might meet each other at exactly the right time. And it's amazing to me. Omniscience. It's just fascinating, just to even when you see it in operation. It never ceases to just blow me away, as they say. So, I can guarantee you 100%, 100% guarantee. If you will practice the two principles of supply, if you will take no thought, stop entertaining thoughts of good or evil, of lack or abundance, of sickness or health, all of these thoughts about the world, if you will stop entertaining any of them, if you will follow the Master and take no thought, and then entertain truth in consciousness, find that place of stillness where you become aware of a transcendental presence, you will have found your second choice in life. Your first choice was to entertain thoughts of good and evil and, like a madman, manifest a living experience of good and evil, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That's insanity. Your second choice was to become the offspring of God, which is accomplished by taking no thought, entertaining no thoughts, simply resting back and allowing that source to flow up through the branches of your consciousness and out into manifest form, as supply, as companionship, as life, as form, tangible form. We had a wisdom we were looking at the other day which said, God doesn't, contact with this God within you doesn't produce harmony. It doesn't send you harmony. God is the harmony. You understand that now, don't you? When you entertain this I, It manifests as your living experience, as tangible form, like this table right here, like this body right here, like the lovely companion I have for my wife downstairs. It manifests tangibly. Here is the way that Joel said it here in the chapter on supply. He said, "The food prepared for Elijah under the juniper tree is his own awareness of the presence of God appearing in tangible form." You see that? Do you? So there are two parts to supply. And the Master gave them both to you. Take no thought, not good thought or bad thought, not any thought about this world. Rather, turn in your meditation and know the truth, and that truth sets you free. Which in modern languages, entertain truth in consciousness. Be aware, have that awareness of the source of your being, which is the substance of infinite all supply, and your awareness of that substance, that presence, that I in your midst, manifests as tangible form. And so you have two choices. Live as a human being and die as a human being. Entertain thoughts of good and evil. Believe what's being broadcast to you by the current economic indicators and the Federal Reserve Board. Or determine that you're going to turn ye and live. That you're really going to find the source that flows up through your consciousness and appears as tangible form. Because the source is your supply, not the form it appears as. Mark that. Your supply is not the forms it appears as. Even if you receive a check in your mailbox tomorrow for $10,000, which certainly seems to be what the world would consider an abundant supply, that's not your supply. So don't be fooled again, because then you'll be entertaining thoughts of good again. Don't be fooled into thinking something in the world is your supply. It is not. Your supply is that I, that infinite I, is your infinite supply. And as it flows into your consciousness, and you have the awareness, it manifests as infinite form, variety, harmony. Dollars, houses, automobiles. That's how it's formed. But your supply is not how it's formed. Your supply is the invisible I. So you have two choices. You can manifest thoughts of good and evil, or you can manifest awareness of I. It is up to you, my friends, individually. Manifest duality of good and evil, and vacillate between the opposites, or believe the Master whom you say you are following, and believe him so well that you do what he said to do, and really follow him in your action. Take no thought, go deep within, reach that moment, that island of silence, rest there until you receive an impartation, an actual awareness of the invisible I, the source of all that is. And your awareness will then manifest. Your awareness of I manifests as form. And it is always the perfect gift of the Father. It is always fulfillment, peace, and joy. So it's your choice. You always did have the power to decide whom you were going to follow, God or Mammon. And I can tell you, there is no end to it. I first discovered the source. Oh gosh, what is it now? Let's see. 34 years ago? Yes, 34 years ago. And I have discovered there's no end to it. It really is infinite. It never runs dry. It's a wellspring of water, springing up into life everlasting. And if you live 10,000 more years and 10,000 more lifetimes, at the end of those 10,000 years, you can look and say to yourself, ask yourself, has it run dry? And I guarantee you, you will stand there and say, it's not even begun. Infinite, infinite, infinite supply. And so as I look out at my tree and the leaves appearing from the invisible to the visible, as I look at my garden and I see the vegetables appearing right out of the invisible into the visible, I look at my life and I see my companionship appearing right out of the invisible into the visible. I see supply appearing right out of the invisible in ways I never dreamed of into the visible. I see my form, my body appearing right out of the invisible into the visible. I see things disappearing that shouldn't be able to disappear without medical attention, according to the thoughts of good and evil of the world. But I also see that this invisible life forms itself as my very body, and that this invisible life has the power to lay it down or pick it up again. Because I am coming to see that this invisible I, this source of all that is really now living my life. And that it was only my belief that there was a me, sometimes good, sometimes evil, that was a glass darkly, preventing me from making the great discovery which I am now making, which is that entertaining I manifest as me. And so I and the Father are one, as a living experience. Let's hear one more time the way that the Master instructed us. And let's decide we're going to take it serious. We're going to follow Christ. And he said unto his disciples, and you are a disciple, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And that's kind of where we started our talk today, isn't it? None of us are arrayed like that tree in my front yard, which without taking thought, continuously outpictures the invisible source flowing. But why don't we become arrayed like one of these? Why don't we do that by practicing these principles? And so he says, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so you see, if you will, let's not say if, because I believe you will. Let's say when. When you learn to take no thought, the first principle, and then the second principle, to entertain truth, to entertain the I in consciousness, you are seeking above all else to entertain I, which is to entertain the kingdom or the source. And then you're fulfilling the Master's words. You're fulfilling and following Christ. And it is that source, that I, that Father within, its good pleasure to manifest as your living experience. So shall the Father be glorified, and so shall you be my, the Christ's disciples. Well, I hope that makes it plain. The two principles of supply. And I hope it inspires you enough to take them, live with them, and put them into practice. If you're just starting out, it's not going to happen in a day and a half. It took Joel a few months before he was entertaining truth in consciousness, before he had his first experience of I. Maybe you have just forgotten these two principles and gotten caught up in the drama of the world. If so, then hopefully this reminds you and you can get back into alignment with the Father, with the Christ, with that I, the Source. But practice the two principles which go hand in hand. Stand still. Take no thought, stand still. Be a witness, a beholder, Joel calls it. Watch this wonderful, infinite, spiritual source of all supply flow into your consciousness, and then it manifests as tangible form, as your living experience, as your very being. Thank you so much, and God's blessings be upon you and through you.